This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
That space, which of course in about 1970 was a very, very different place from what it is now. So it's been wonderful to learn from her about her time here in Portland. She was already politically active when she was here in Portland. She was very interested in the arts, not necessarily the visual arts yet, more the performing arts. Mm-hmm. So when she was 17 years old, she approached her father and said, I think I need to go. I need to go out on my own. And he supported her in doing so. And she actually moved to San Francisco and became a dancer with Anna Halperin's dance workshop there. And it was at, in her early 20s that she discovered photography. She was given the gift of a camera and started thinking about how photography could be used as a tool in terms of protests sometimes or civic action. Mm-hmm. And from there, she went to art school. She got a BFA and in photography, and then she also received an MFA from the University of California, and also studied folklore at Berkeley. So that is really the underpinning of her photographic work. And from there, she moved sort of back and forth between California and New York City, thinking about photography, working in photography, first in a documentary style, and then in perhaps what we would say more of a contemporary or postmodern style, where she was thinking more about really setting up photographs that would allow her to provide a narrative in a more structured way than perhaps documentary photographs could.
Mm-hmm. Just say something about Anna Halperin. What kind of dance, or was it street theater? What was it?
It was a dance group, a workshop, known for very sort of avant-garde work, which makes perfect sense, I think, if you know about Carrie or are learning about Carrie, sort of being on the forefront of modern dance and thinking about dance and form in very different ways. And it certainly translates through much of Carrie's work as Carrie over time began to insert herself into her photographs as perhaps a witness or as a guide. She, you can see that she is very aware of her body and knows how to position herself within space. Mm-hmm. And she really knows how to perform in an incredibly powerful and wonderful way. So the ability to shape oneself through dance and through posture is very, very clear, even in her photographs and her still photographs, right, as well as her videos.
Right. So she her work addresses power and race. Tell us a bit about a photo or a series which is about power, and then tell us about one which is about race.
Carrie's work is so fascinating in that her work addresses power in many, many different ways. There are issues of race in many of the series, not necessarily all. I think what is important to Carrie is she wants people to know that race is not necessarily the only issue that comes up in her photography, but she does deal with her experiences being an African American, being part of the African American community. What is it like to have that kind of legacy, to be when your ancestors were brought here under terrible conditions? But from there, she moves outward and she thinks about power and power structures and how power can manifest itself in things like family structures or within a community of friends or a civic community or within architecture even. Mm-hmm. So an example perhaps where both race and power can be seen is in her wonderful series called From Here I Saw What Happened and I Cried from about 1996, which is a series of 33 photographs that are actually all appropriated. She took historic photographs from other sources and re-photographed them and made them her own, took them from all different sources and put them together to chart the manner in which photography, which grew up really right before the Civil War in the United States, it's a very new medium and it was only introduced really in the early 1840s, how photography was complicit in power structures and in keeping slaves without power, in showing and demonstrating how perhaps an African or an African American through their body could be read as less than the Caucasian. Mm-hmm. So it's so fascinating where she is in that case dealing with race, but she's also dealing with power and how photography, making photographs of someone who is considered the other, who is not like you, mm-hmm. can be less than you. And here, let's demonstrate that through the document of a photograph. So that's one example where both issues come in. It's a very, very powerful series that can be difficult to look at times, but is extremely provocative and I think important for people to see.
And that series is downstairs. So you go chronologically and then you go downstairs to a newer work.
Yes.
And many of those pieces are in boxes or behind etched glass. Is that correct?
They are. That's something that's incredibly important to Carrie's work as well. What I love about Carrie's work is that photography, when we think about photography, we think maybe a march of really beautiful works along a wall, but everything's kind of framed and contained and mm-hmm. can be powerful, but can be quiet. Carrie's work explodes outward from the walls very, very quickly, very early on. And at a point in the exhibition, it's a very large exhibition, it takes two floors, she has us walk through photographs that are on cloth, that are suspended from the ceiling. So she wants us to pass through history. So to get to From Here I Saw What Happened and I Cried, you have to walk through this incredible space where you are moving through photographs. And there is recorded sound as well there. Carrie is a wonderful speaker. She has a great cadence and an incredible voice. And she guides us through many aspects of the exhibition with her voice. Mm-hmm. So the experience that you have in this exhibition space, I think, is quite different from what you might have in a normal photographic exhibition. And that's not to take away from photography. I'm a curator of the history of photography. I love photography. But I think the ways in which we can experience what Carrie wants us to experience is very, very special. And we're very fortunate to have the work here in Portland.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of there's one piece where there is a little speaker in the corner and it's sort of she's talking to you, but you can only hear it when you're within about 6 feet of the piece.
Exactly. And that's one of the first pieces I believe you're talking about, which mm-hmm. is the Family Pictures and Stories series.
Correct.
Which was the work that she did for her master's degree when she was in California. But she came back to Portland to make these photographs. She wanted to think about her own family and to document her own family and the closeness, the difficulties, the beauty, the love, the frustrations. And so what she has done in this incredible series of work is she has kind of blown out the family photography album, and she has placed text with some of the photographs, but there is also a wonderful spoken word component. So it's almost as if you're getting together with your parents or your grandparents and sitting around at a family reunion, mm-hmm. and someone is retelling stories to you as you look at the photographs. And it is an incredibly powerful and beautiful commentary on an African-American family. Her family came from Mississippi and came from Tennessee all the way out to Portland to start a new life in the early 1950s. And Portland has legacy issues with race and with African-Americans within this city and within Oregon. So for this family to move out here and then to thrive in such a beautiful way, I think it's a wonderful homage to her family. Mm-hmm. And to you don't have to be African-American to appreciate this group of work. We all come from a family where we have loving moments and we have difficult moments. And she calls all of that out and invites us to learn more about her family and to think about our own families in that space.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, was that audio there when she made the pictures in the 70s, or was it recent?
I believe, as far as I'm aware, it was there since that time.
Okay.
And she is someone who was thinking very critically about history and about folklore, and her professors encouraged her to think about photography as a form of folklore, as a way to get to a more intimate history of a group of people or a culture through the spoken word and through writing and also through the photograph, through the vernacular photograph. It's a way to pass along information. So she was thinking about all of those things when she did the work mm-hmm. in the late 70s and early 80s.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Joseph Gallivan, and I'm talking to Julia Dolan from the Portland Art Museum about the work of Carrie Mae Weems, a photographer with a retrospective now at the museum. Julia, you described Carrie Mae Weems' work as dynamic. were you talking about her career progression or the way images series work, or what did you mean?
Well, she is an incredibly dynamic individual. If mm-hmm. anybody had the chance, there were approximately 700 people at the museum on Sunday. We sold out our talk with her, and I think everyone who was able to be there was very pleased. And we'll get that talk up on the website shortly for those who are not able to experience it. She's a dynamic human being. She's constantly working, constantly pushing, trying to make us think about the world and about power structures and about empowering other people. And in order to do that, she has to engage her audiences in a very dynamic way. But for me, working with photography as much as I do, the manner in which she thinks about how photography, again, can come off of the wall or can be joined with spoken word, or how she can reuse images from history to make a statement, the dynamic quality of this exhibition, I think when I'm saying that idea, I can't, the reason it's so interesting to me is because a lot of people have said, oh, I don't really know her work very well. Maybe I've heard of her. I've seen a couple series. Mm-hmm. I'll go to see the exhibition. And then people are often crying within a third of the way through the exhibition because of the power of the work. And again, her images are outstanding on their own. They're beautiful. She knows the history of photography. She understands the history of art. She knows how to make a good photograph. But the imagery is oftentimes very emotional and very powerful in a way that people don't expect. So their reactions are often unexpected. And the beauty is so dynamic. It's not always quiet. It oftentimes is sometimes a slap in the face, but in a beautiful and powerful way. And the dynamism that comes forth from the work by the time you finish the exhibition on the lower level, you will be different for having seen this work. Mm. So she's a dynamic person, but also the objects she creates are incredibly dynamic, and you will feel that as you go through the spaces.
Right. I was thinking of maybe the idea of a photographer who just produces a series of two-dimensional images mm-hmm. for their whole career, mm-hmm. maybe that is no longer it's no longer common, you know, because of movies and because of digital technology.
Sure.
Perhaps.
It actually is still really common, and there's, speaking about Carrie's work in this way is not to take away from other photographers' work, which can be incredibly, incredibly powerful. For instance, I'm working with Robert Adams, an incredibly important landscape photographer who lives in Oregon, and we'll be doing an exhibition together at the museum beginning in September. And he is someone who, he does work in some ways in three dimensions because he works in book form as well as these beautiful, beautiful prints that are two-dimensional that go on the wall. Mm-hmm. So that's not, again, to take away from the medium of photography. It's just Carrie's way of working. And I think that people are not necessarily prepared to see ostensibly a photography exhibition in this way. So it's a wonderful wake-up call to the means, the ways in which photographers have opportunities to work with the camera, with video, mm-hmm. with stills, and to think about them in a different way and to present them in varied ways.
Yeah. Artists like Nan Golden, Cindy Sherman, and Carrie Mae Weems put a lot of time and thought into taking photos of themselves. Do you think they prefigure the age of the selfie, someone taking their own picture in a bathroom or at a party with the phone?
Selfie is a new word for me. Is that common language now? I have not heard selfie before. I should probably know that word since I deal with photography so much. So I guess I'm thinking of the type of photos we put maybe on Facebook when we're at a mm-hmm. place or in family albums. I would perhaps equate that more with tourist photography and tourism photography because there is that moment, that tradition of let me get my photograph in front of the Grand Canyon, mm-hmm. and then I will get back in my car and leave because I have now proven that I have been to the Grand Canyon. Photograph me, please, in front of the Empire State Building or the Eiffel Tower. People like Nan Golden is photographing in the 1980s in an incredibly personal way that I don't know would make it to Facebook or into a family album, because she's photographing her friends who are wasting away from AIDS. Mm-hmm. She's photographing her friends who are destroying their lives with drugs. She's photographing herself after she's been beaten up by a lover. So she's taking a very critical look at herself in a way that a lot of people at that time didn't want to look at certain parts of society, including homosexuals or transgendered individuals, cross-dressers or drug users, you know, people who a lot of people look away from. Mm-hmm. Someone like Cindy Sherman is never Cindy Sherman in her photographs. She is always becoming someone else. She was always becoming a trope, a type of woman, and she is never Cindy Sherman, even though she uses her physical person as a form to overlay other ideas on. And Carrie is someone who is very thoughtful about the way she stands in front of monuments. For instance, in her Roaming series, which is a work from the 21st century, it's, you know, 4 to 5 years old at this point, and she, I believe, continues to work on it, and the museum series as well, where she is inserting herself into photographs. But she's serving much more as a guide and a witness to history, rather than I am Carrie Mae Weems and I am placing myself within this space. So whenever I pull my arm out with my point-and-shoot digital camera and I photograph myself with my friends, it's more for Facebook purposes than necessarily the space of a museum, which is not to say that photographs like that aren't showing up in the spaces of a museum, because I have a Lee Friedlander photograph, and he did that out on Cannon Beach with his wife. He pulled out his camera and pulled his arm as far as he could go and made a self-portrait along with his wife. So there is some crossover. Yes, we own it, and it was in my first exhibition when I moved here about portraiture and photography. Yeah, so it's a valid form of photography, but I believe that those women are working in different ways.
Yeah. What could you say a bit about the Kitchen Table series, which is one of the central pieces in the exhibition? And there is a wooden table in the middle of the room.
There is. The Kitchen Table series is such a beautiful series of work that Carrie did in around 1990 when she was teaching in Massachusetts. And she was thinking about things such as, who am I as a photographer? Where do I enter the photograph? Where do I enter the discussion of photography in history? Who am I as an African-American woman? Although that plays a little bit less of a role. And she was also very interested in the struggles that her students were having, her female students in particular, making self-portraits. They didn't know who they were in that space within the realm of the camera. Mm-hmm. And then she was also thinking about the very intimate space of the kitchen table and the wonderful issues and struggles that come up at the kitchen table. Children do their homework there. Families fight there. Mm-hmm. Lovers have drinks together there. We play games at that space. We talk about loved ones we have lost.
Pictures of her playing cards with herself.
Absolutely. And that's really the end, where she's playing solitaire. So what's fantastic about this space is, especially because of the prints that are here, they're a newer set of prints and they're larger. Mm-hmm. So they almost feel life size. And the camera is always set at one end of the table. So you, the viewer, are participating. You are ostensibly sitting at the table with this woman. She is always in the photographs, and different people come in and out of this space. A male lover comes in and then leaves. Friends come in to comfort her. A young woman who seems to be her daughter deals with her and puts on makeup with her at her own small mirror while the mother figure is putting on makeup. And then she is finally alone and very sort of in a strong central place. On occasion, she breaks that fourth wall. She engages with us. She looks directly out at us and invites us into this wonderful, wonderful narrative that takes place at a kitchen table. And what's also so wonderful, again, she knows her art history very well. There are different objects that are placed on the table at particular times that indicate different things, like a meal of lobster or cigarettes and a bottle of wine or whiskey. Mm-hmm. Or playing solitaire at the end with an empty bird cage behind her.
What does that mean?
Well, the bird in the bird cage is quite a trope in art history, quite an idea in art history, and I think as well as literature, where a bird in a cage often represented a woman who was possessed in a space and controlled. And so you see the birdcage at the very beginning of the 20 photograph series, and then you see the birdcage towards the end, and where she's feeding, I believe, a cherry to the bird in the cage. And then at the end, when she's sitting playing solitaire, completely alone. The bird is no longer in the cage, so it's like a woman who's become free. Mm-hmm. So it's a really wonderful, subtle indication of the range of emotions that women perhaps can go through with the various individuals who come into their lives and pass through the very intimate space of the kitchen and share with them.
And this work was in the mid-70s?
That work was actually about 1990.
Oh, okay.
Yes, 1990. So she, the Family Pictures and Stories is really the first series that she was working around in the 1970s, although we do have some very early documentary work that she did as well, starting around 1975 or 76 or so. So we have beautiful examples of the first type of work that she did, all the way up until work that she has completed in 2012.
Mm-hmm. So some of her later work is traveling, going to North Africa.
Yes.
Tell us how does travel affect her vision?
Travel has become very important to Carrie because she's grown outward and is looking at the manner in which power manifests in various ways and in various places. So if we start at the beginning from her experience as an African-American woman, power structures are different in the United States than perhaps they are certainly in the Middle East, so or other parts of the world, Africa or in Russia or in China and so on. So she's very interested in looking globally at the way that power is manifest, who has power, who does not have power, who needs to be empowered. So she went to places like the West Coast of Africa to look at the architecture of the spaces where slaves were gathered before mm-hmm. they were placed on ships to move over into North America. So they're empty and abandoned at this point, but through text, she again is very interested in placing text next to her image at times, her images at times. She's thinking about the experience of these spaces and how the power of the architecture would belittle and corral together people who used to have power, but then who mm-hmm. were stolen away and sold into lives of absolute misery. Mm-hmm. So she moves to Africa. She also goes to Cuba to think about the ways that first slavery and then communism have shaped culture there. And finally, she went to Rome in about 2006. She received a wonderful Rome Prize, a residency there, where she worked in and around Rome and thought very critically about the manner in which architecture and space can be designed in order to influence individuals, citizens of a space, and how one can understand perhaps that the church has power or the government has power simply by standing in front of an edifice, in front mm-hmm. of a church or a government building. And if we think about the Roman Empire and how power has shifted over thousands of years, it's really wonderful for her to move globally, to think about space and to think about power throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. And it's a test really for an American artist to go to Europe as a photographer and not be a tourist.
Absolutely. And she talks about that in the two times I've heard her speak, first in Nashville and then this past week. She talks about how spending all this time in Rome and making photographs there, people would walk up to her and would either recognize her from having known her before or knew her work and recognized her. And they would say, "What are you doing here? Mm-hmm. Why are you here? Why are you working here?" Which really pigeonholes her in a way that, oh, well, you should be dealing with only issues of African-American identity and race. And that really isn't her point. Her point is about power and community and how that manifests itself throughout the world. So it is very important for her to be able to work elsewhere and think about these larger issues in a global way. Mm-hmm. And to then bring them back home to Portland. It's a wonderful homecoming for her and for us. We need this work here, and we need this work now. And I think it's great for the photography community and for Portland in general to hear her voice and to see her work and to think about the issues that she is presenting to us.
Mm-hmm. I'm Joseph Gallivan. This is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. Our guest is Julia Dolan, the curator of photography at the Portland Art Museum. Julia's talking about Carrie Mae Weems' three decades of photography and video, which is on at the museum until May 19th. How do you, as a curator of photography, you have a great collection to work with. The museum's been collecting for 100 years. How do you stay abreast of contemporary photography?
I laugh because it's not easy, because it is my job to think about the entire history of photography, mm-hmm. which really only began, for the most part, in 1839. So it's not a very long history. But because it is an art form of multiples, and because digital photography has burst onto the scene so wonderfully in the past 15 years, it can be very difficult to keep up with contemporary photography. So I do my best by looking at websites. Portland is a wonderful scene to be able to look at new photography and to think about photography and what people are doing, because we have places like Blue Sky Gallery, we mm-hmm. have New Space Center for Photography, we have Charles A. Hartman Fine Art. Charles is a wonderful historian of photography and has a wonderful roster of photographers who he represents. And so there are other places, Black Box Gallery, Push Dot. There are so many places where every single month you can see new photography here. I can't get to it all. I mm-hmm. am exhausted the first Thursday and Friday because I have to go out to see so many things. So I try to start here, but then I also try to go to things. I try to go to New York. I need to go to LA and San Francisco to see what's going on there as well. I also have a wonderful network of curators of photography who say to me, I really need you to see this photographer's work. I think it's mm-hmm. important and it's doing wonderful new things. So have a look here, but there's just not enough time in the day, unfortunately.
Does seeing it live or seeing it on the recommendation of another professional, does that always trump just clicking around online, looking at pictures?
Not always. Right. Not always, no, because there is enough room for various curators and various thinkers on photography to like different things. And I may respond one way to a group of photographs that another curator does not. And that's why we're lucky that we have so many museums and spaces to show photography, because then people who are very serious about their work and are good at what they do hopefully will rise up as time moves on. If something crosses my desk, if someone sends me a website, if I see something in, we do things with Photo Lucida where we do portfolio reviews. If I see something at a portfolio review somewhere, or I judge something online, that's just a wonderful way. So sometimes it's serendipitous. I come across something and feel mm-hmm. that I need to think more critically about it because the image is so powerful.
Right.
Or the images are so powerful and wonderful.
Right. I was going to ask you if there are any emerging photographers KBOO listeners should keep their ears out for, but I do want to talk about Adams as well before we wrap up.
Sure. I think the best thing for people to do in Portland, again, get out to New Space, get out to Blue Sky Gallery, go to First Thursday and First Friday and look around and see what your galleries are doing. It's a wonderful way to experience things. But I do have the great fortune of working with Robert Adams at this point, who many people who love photography, in particular the landscape, love his work. And he has a major retrospective that's out and about in the world right now. But I'll be working with him on the work that he's done here in Oregon. He's been a resident for many years and has been visiting here for 50 years and loves Oregon. So he and I are working together on a book and on a photographic project that will be on display in the museum starting in September. So there's always new photography to see at the museum. Come to the museum. I'm touting all these other wonderful places mm-hmm. in Portland. Come to the museum. We have a permanent gallery space for photography. There is always photography to see there.
Right. This is Joseph Gallivan, and you've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO. This week our guest was Julia Dolan, the Minor White Curator of Photography at the Portland Art Museum. The show Carrie Mae Weems' Three Decades of Photography and Video is a retrospective of the work of the artist who grew up in Portland. The show opened on Saturday and runs until May 19th. General admission to the museum is $15 for adults and free for children. And just like to say thank you very much, Julia, for coming in, telling us all about the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Coming up this evening on KABU at 4, tune in for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. At 5, it's the volunteer-produced KABU Evening News. We'll get a full report on today's rally to support public sector jobs in Portland and more local, national, and international news. At 6, it's Out Loud, KABU's queer culture radio show. Tonight, we welcome local organizers from 1 Billion Rising, an international day of action to end violence against women, happening on February 14th. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective, with host Davey D.
I know it sucks that daddy's dumb, but trying to think of what you want.
KABU Radio is proud to help Zippity News in a clothes drive to help clothe the homeless. We will be collecting gloves, hats, and scarves until February 15th, when the clothes will be distributed throughout the homeless community. KABU is located on 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, just off Burnside. Thank you, and we hope to see you donating clothes to help keep the homeless warm this winter.
Hi, this is Love Jones, producer and DJ for The Confessional. I'm so pleased to invite you to join us on Valentine's Day, February 14th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, a benefit for KBOO. It's going to be an amazing night filled with sing-alongs, contests, a live performance by La Contessa de la Luna herself, and of course, the Alfred Hitchcock movie, Rear Window. This is your opportunity to redeem Valentine's Day. Join us February 14th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 26th and Clinton, in Southeast Portland, for La Contessa de la Luna's Valentine's Day Spectacular.
This is Contessa de la Luna inviting you to join us live at the Clinton Street Theater on Valentine's Day. Kiss, kiss.